Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority. But its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another week of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. So glad you are here. Cruising right into the year 2023, wrapping up the octave of the Epiphany. We'll go into a few more weeks and then shortly thereafter be right at the cusp of Lent. So a lot of people talk about their New Year's resolution. I like to focus on the daily resolution. Lent, of course, is always a great time to slow down and trace back our steps and prepare for the resurrection of our Lord. But if we go from holiday to holiday or feast to feast, we sort of miss the in-between. So I think it's important to make sure we are beginning each day afresh and making those daily resolutions to become better men, better fathers, better husbands, what we are called to be. I'm excited about our conversation today. Got another great conversation come up through our Instagram interview series. Gentleman all the way out in sunny California. He is the founder of Trad Cat Men, also organizer of the Men's Rosary March. Served his country for 4 years as a U.S. Marine soldier. He's a devoted follower and promoter of the traditional Latin Mass, the Rosary, and authentic Catholic masculinity. Like to welcome Daniel Vu with Trad Cat Men. Daniel, welcome to The Obligation.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jason. As Jason said, I am Daniel Vu. I am the head of Trad Cat Men, short for Traditional Catholic Men on Instagram, and one of the co-founders of the Men's Rosary March in Southern California. I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time. You're a busy man, a lot of stuff going on, but you know, definitely some great insight into living authentically as a Catholic man, an obligation we have. So yeah, just super excited to have you. And I guess, you know, just tell us a little bit about kind of a little bit of your background, you know, your family, you know, where you came from and where you are now. I know you're, you know, traditional Latin Mass attendee. Just, you know, give us a little history there of where Daniel comes from.
So I was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest. My parents were Vietnamese refugees from the Vietnam War. I grew up as a cradle Catholic and went to Mass, was a altar boy for the parish that I grew up in. And after I enlisted in the Marine Corps, I more or less was living a double life, so to speak, was going through the motions. But in reality, I was living very much of a worldly life and dropping the ball when it came to the sacraments. So when I got out, I was really struggling with finding a task and purpose. And this was all while battling an addiction to pornography, masturbation, and also alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And that up to this day, it's still a struggle to battle those temptations like any other man. And I had gotten off of active duty at the beginning of 2018, and I had a bit of savings to last myself to perhaps get a job or move forward in my life. And by the end of 2018, I was on the verge of homelessness. And that was when I truly began to take my faith seriously. And I was thinking, okay, God, if you are there paying attention to all the shenanigans that I was putting myself through, please get me out of this. At the beginning of 2019, that was when I found myself taking my faith more seriously. And by the grace of God, I found a temporary job that got me back on my feet. And while this was happening, I also decided that I needed to take my faith to another level. It just happened so that on Facebook, there was a lot of advertisements going on for a program specifically designed for Catholic men called Exodus 90. Yes. And I thought I should hop onto it and put some discipline back into my life, albeit a Catholic one, whether it be having some daily penances, such as having a cold shower, no alcohol, and also being with like-minded men. So I didn't have any close Catholic male friends at the time, given where I was attending in Southern California. And I decided on a whim just to go onto Reddit, to a Catholic men's Reddit, and ask to see if there was anyone that was willing to jump on board. And the stranger decided that he wanted to do Exodus 90 with me. I got onto a video chat with him, and coincidentally, it seemed as if he was my doppelganger from another country. Also had a military background.
Yeah.
Was also the son of immigrants to the United Kingdom, and he was more or less looking for the same thing when it came to building up camaraderie and also building up masculine Catholic discipline of sorts in his life. So we did this together, and one of the requirements was to attend an extra mass put an extra mass into your schedule. And I was thinking, okay, I was already going to daily mass at the parish that I had been attending at the time, but not to bash on the parish, but it was set up in a very modern way, such as having PowerPoints, modern altar, didn't even know where the tabernacle was. And the demographic was very much of, there was a lot of aunties, grandmas, moms that were attending, and they were dragging along their husbands that looked like they didn't want to be there, and they wanted to go back home and watch the next round of sports that was on Sundays. So I was thinking, I have to find a parish where men were most likely to take their faith seriously. So then I started looking at the traditional Latin Mass, and I had heard about it before, and I admit that I looked at it with a sort of disdain at a superficial level, thinking, okay, it's the mass that the weird people go to, and that those that want to have a sort of nostalgia of sorts, if you will, and that the priest is going to face away from you for whatever reason, unbeknownst to me. And I began to do my research, and I was thinking, okay, why was I hating on the Latin mass? Because the demographics do not lie, and the stats do not lie. Catholics that attended the Latin mass tended to be on the younger side. They also tended to be very orthodox in their faith. And I will never forget the first time I attended a high mass at the parish that now has become my home parish, where everyone was very much reverent. They focused on praying the rosary. They focused on the prayers to prepare for going into confession. The confession line was long. The priests looked like they were having a task and purpose instead of trying to throw dad jokes. And at the mass itself, there was a lot of order and reverence and a lot of ritual that just pointed to worshiping God. And as much as I did not understand what was going on, given that it was my first Latin mass, I just immediately fell in love with it, and also took note that there was a lot of men at the parish, men that wanted to be there, men that had task and purpose and were leaders. So then, ironically, even though at the time Exodus 90 was saying no social media whatsoever, I couldn't help but browse on Instagram, because I was just wanting to assimilate into the Latin mass. And it just seemed that Instagram at the time had a lot of influencers, at least that the ones that were on my newsfeed, there were a lot of those that were saying, oh, this is how you read a missal, this is how you would dress for the Latin mass. However, a lot of these pages were geared towards women, where there was a lot of veiling, modesty pages. And then the one other thing that I noticed was that every so often these pages would be like, men, this is how you should act. And part of my gut instinct was, I know that a guy would not listen really much. And if they did, it was to be at a face value and not really take it into depth. And I was thinking, where's this men's page on Instagram? Because I would be following it. So here I was, I'd say about 2 weeks later, and I was sitting, after that initial thought, I was just sitting alone in the chapel for holy hour. And I was thinking, Lord, where's this social media page for Catholic men to learn about their faith or deepen their sense of faith, if you will, along with just knowing that there's a page for mainly Catholic men. And there was this thought of, son, why don't you run a page, start it and run it? And I was thinking, okay, I am not one of those guys that loves to take selfies or do lives, and was thinking, okay, if you want sponsorship, like get a free product, et cetera, et cetera. What I perceive to be your stereotypical social media influencer, and every thought that I thought of denying that initial thought of why don't you do it, I, for whatever reason, I just felt a sense of peace come and overwhelm me. And it was this assurance of don't worry, everything will be taken care of. So on the Feast of St. George on April 23rd of 2019, after spending holy hour inside and praying and asking for assurance, I stepped outside of that chapel, opened up Instagram, and created Traditional Catholic Men, shortened it to Trad Cat Men. And by the end of that first week, I had 1,000 followers, and the numbers just kept climbing and climbing and climbing from there.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, as of now, looking, you know, pushing 25,000 followers there, and that's no small feat. And, you know, I strayed away from kind of the social media. I had, you know, Facebook that I would use for family photos, kind of a place, a scrapbook, if you will, you know, instead of just things sitting on my phone, and really didn't get into the Instagram until really, you know, started advertising for the obligation and kind of, you know, putting some nice little things out there, scripture quotes, inspirational things. And, you know, it's kind of gotten to where I've, it's nowhere near, you know, growing to where you are, but, you know, it's not really a numbers game, because we'll get contacted by folks just saying, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this, you know, with mass or with the church, or so would you, you know, try to, you know, put out some provocative thoughts, some factual things. You know, I think, you know, for a long time, you know, the social media just kind of looked at it as sort of a negative influence, you know, just so many negative things on it, but it's really begun to be Catholicized so much. And I'm actually surprised we haven't had the plug pulled on, you know, pages like yourself and so many others, and really meeting some interesting folks. And I mean, the ones who communicate via memes, we've had several folks on the show as well. And I mean, so much can be said in a meme. Then you have ones, you know, with some very serious newsworthy items, and others, you know, an organizational and men's focus like yours there. And so many good things coming out of that. You know, you also mentioned Exodus 90. I did that. I'm pretty sure it was probably around the same time you may have done yours. And it was very good, very inspiring to come together with men and kind of share that vision and kind of go through that struggle and that walk together. And it really, you know, made some bonds. And I know many men, they crave that, you know, they just crave that that sense of brotherhood, you know, pull out that sense of manliness and really fight against what the world is kind of laying down for us. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, to your point with the mass, the liturgy. I mean, even today earlier, you know, I was thinking that, you know, if anything really publicized on a mass media scale, EWTN, you know, as much good work as they do, the vast majority of that is going to turn guys away because it is very feminine. The rosary that's featured, it's never a manly rosary. And for, you know, God bless Mother Angelica and her good work, but most men aren't going to gravitate to that. And then, you know, I have an app that I'll use, Laudate, and nothing against Laudate. It's a lot of great information, but more than 50% of the readings are done by women. And it's really been limiting for men, you know, because men aren't going to go digging. You know, only a few guys are going to go digging. They're going to usually react to what's presented to them in a mass media scale. So, you know, hopefully, you know, movements like your own and others will be that resource for them, because we, you know, guys are out there. They want it. They crave it. So,
yeah, like I think that the reason why that my page grew astronomically high was just because there was that need for it on social media. Like you said, because I remembered I was looking through EWTN And don't get me wrong, a rosary is a rosary, but I honestly would not go out of my way to buy like a pink colored rosary. I really wouldn't. I would buy a rosary that was, say, a replica of the battle beads, for example, right. from Rugged Rosaries,
right.
where that was my first manly rosary, so to speak, that I got in my reversion process and also when I was treating Tradcat Men. And then the most recent one that I always carry on me at all times, made by Jonathan Fiore of Heavy Metal Rosaries. It's this customized rosary with St. George and a Crusader crucifix. Now, I know for a fact that if I was to show a picture of it on Instagram right now, I'd have at least 5 to 10 guys going into my DM saying, "Where do I get that rosary? I don't care how much it costs."
That's right.
But I want something as manly as that rosary that just presents Catholicism in a very church militant manner, if you will. And that's what guys are craving, especially when they are seeing the current mass, where I know it's not all across the board, but it is so susceptible to liturgical abuse, such as guitar blessings or a plush toy of the Tasmanian devil being brought up on the altar, or God forbid, dancing that's occurring on there. That instantly turns them off. They're looking for something that has a legacy, order, and discipline, or someone that is already setting the example.
Right.
And I think that with the Latin Mass, a lot of men see that and they find themselves gravitated to it.
Yeah.
Along with being on social media, when they see a guy that's out there, such as Pierce and Howard doing Rifle and Rosary, that's what they ultimately want to gravitate
the
to, and not like
absolutely. Yeah, great guys. And I mean, we want order. We want consistency. I mean, nature thrives due to consistency. You know, the order of nature and the tides and the sun and the stars and the moon and the heavens. I mean, it all revolves around consistency, and we are God's creation as well. And we want that too. We want consistency. We want consistency in our daily routines, in our families, and in our mass. We do innately. Man wants that. Society doesn't. Society and modern culture wants whatever tickles the ear, something new and different, because it gets bored. But we know with the faith is never boring, and of course the holy sacrifice of the mass is never a boring thing. So I think we're coming up on our first break. We are going to take a few minutes off and be right back. I'm talking to Daniel Vu with Traditional Catholic Men, Trad Cat Men on Instagram, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vir.
Did you know that 90% of older adults wish to stay in their home as they age? Aging in place has many benefits. It tends to improve quality of life, which in return improves physical health. Also, retaining independence as we age is critically important to our mental health. Hi, my name is Meredith Dignan, and I am the president of Harmony Home Solutions and an active parishioner of St. Patrick Cathedral. We are your trusted partner for aging in place. We strive to enhance the lives of older adults and their families by providing premier aging in place and universal design lifestyle solutions that increase safety beautifully. Now is the time to get your aging in place plan in order with Harmony Home Solutions. Visit our website today at hhsclt.com. Again, that's hhsclt.com. Or give us a call at 980-220-8821. Again, that's 980-220-8821. We want to help you live an empowered and beautiful life.
Welcome back to The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy, sitting down with
Daniel Vu,
Trad Cat Men, having a great conversation discussing the crisis of manhood, the recent, the many decades old feminization of the church, liturgy, and society walking hand in hand. You know, you mentioned earlier, Daniel, you know, we talked about, you know, this idea of a regimented and disciplined, you know, order of mass. You know, let's talk a little bit more about that. You know, with your impression, I remember my first time. You know, you said you remember your first. I remember my first time walking into that small chapel, and it was unlike anything else I had ever seen. You know, it was otherworldly. That's the word I always use, the otherworldly. And it was consistent. I went every Sunday afterwards, and it was always the same. You know, it was kind of like going to McDonald's. You know, it's going to taste the same every single time. I don't think McDonald's would be as popular, you know, if you went there and every time they have a new modern twist on what the hamburger should taste like. And of course, many months ago, we talked about the Coke experiment. You know, Coke got to that point where they thought they would just try to tweak the formula. And of course, we know it was an utter failure. After, you know, less than 3 months, they reverted back. But here we are, you know, going on 60 years with continued innovation and novelty, trying to figure out what went wrong, what can we do different, when it seems like, let's just go and back and do what worked, right?
Yeah, it's funny how you kind of brought up the McDonald's analogy, if you will, because, every so often on my Instagram page, there's always a young man or woman who is looking into going to the Latin Mass. And I would say that's the power of social media right there, is when they go into their newsfeed and they see a picture of the Solemn High Mass and they're just thinking, okay, I mean, what's the difference between the Latin Mass and the current Mass that I'm attending? And I like to say that both are valid and licit, no doubt. And I would have to say, for the caveat, is that make sure that the Latin Mass that you attend is in full communion with Rome, not like independent or something that says the Pope's an anti-heretic. That's not a true Catholic Mass right there. So right, as a warning. But sure, I would say that, so both are valid and licit, but think of it as the difference between going to a fast food restaurant and a high-end dining restaurant. The fast food is definitely going to fill you up right there and then.
Yeah.
But is it necessarily going to be healthy? The answer most likely will be no. And then also, you know, that like you want to have something more than just a soggy burger from the drive-thru. Whereas if you were to go to a high-end restaurant, you know that the service is going to be going above and beyond because they want you to be there. And you know that like the food is going to be fresh and it's going to be awesome and it's going to be amazing. And I think that the Latin Mass is the same thing, in which you don't go to be evangelized. You go there to worship God, and perhaps you will be evangelized in the process, depending on where you are in the state of life. And the problem of why men in general get turned off by the new Mass is because it's all about control on your part, because now the priest is trying to be like, how do I get this man to come back, instead of how can I make myself presentable and be worthy in the presence of God? And I think that when you take the focus away from the guy and say that, okay, I'm not trying to tailor the Mass to be for a guy, but go back to a leg something that is tried and true that already gets men to gravitate to the Mass to begin with, because after all, it is the passion of the Christ that we're seeing. That is what brings a man back. And like I said earlier in the earlier segment, was that when you go to the average Novus Ordo parish, you're going to see a lot of women and you're going to see very few men. And those men don't want to be there. Whereas at a Latin Mass, you see younger men, sometimes often way more than the older guys. They oftentimes already have families. And oftentimes these men really want to be there, and not just for the Mass, but for the life that surrounds the Latin Mass community.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, kind of shift gears just a sec, you know, still very related, but, you know, oftentimes I'll have these conversations and, you know, of course, many priests, and you know, there's been top down, statements from the church, and they'll say, oh, well, it's a matter of the implementation or the interpretation. It wasn't properly, understood. And that's the problem. It just, you know, everyone needs to better understand it. But I guess if we took the Mass that, you know, on paper was supposed to be promulgated, you know, in Latin, you know, use of Gregorian chant and Ad Orientem, and the list goes on of kind of what should have been in place and where we are now. One just has to say, you know, if indeed the Novus Ordo from Vatican II was implemented the way it was supposed to have been, looking at them side to side, there's not a ton of distinguishable difference. And so then one would beg, you know, ask themselves, well, you know, pose the question, well, if it wasn't so different, then why was it changed in the first place? I mean, how would you respond to a question like that? Because that's one thing we don't ever really get to see. That was sort of that whole portion of Vatican II, kind of just, it never really existed. If it did, it was a flash in the pan, because I would say there's few to far between that there are actually parishes that are using a semblance of the Mass from Vatican II. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
I think that yes, I agree that there's not much to be said, along with very few parishes actually implemented what the Mass was to look like implemented from Vatican II. But one could also argue that the liturgy should have never been changed in the first place. Exactly. And I also strongly recommend that if you haven't watched the Mass of the Ages series, which you could watch on YouTube for free altogether, it also explains specifically in episode 2, the mastermind behind the scenes who came up with the idea of, oh, the liturgy should be changed in certain ways in order to evangelize those that are outside of the faith, which kind of echoes on what I was saying earlier, that the Mass shouldn't be there to get you to evangelize. It should be about worshiping God. And you could see that snowball effect, and also the way that the documents were written, where it allowed for changes to come after initial implements were made. So I think that when it came to Annibale Bonini being the mastermind of manipulating the Pope at the time, along with the bishops and cardinals, it really boiled down to him just writing subtle documents that allowed for a lot of changes to subsequently occur in the years that led to the eventual implementation of the Novus Ordo Mass. Right. And also the fact that there were subtle intentions that you could dare say were meant to destroy the church. Because if you destroy the liturgy through subtle means, you will eventually wreck the church.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of where we are. I mean, it's the statistics are, the reality is, the belief of Catholics, I mean, all of that is out there. I do some boxing, and it's, you know, we refer, you know, boxing, obviously, the sweet science of boxing. And, you know, with 60 years under our belt after Vatican II, I always refer to it as the sweet holy science. You know, we have the stats. Follow the science. I know that's something that a lot of us don't want to talk about, especially coming out of the pandemic, you know, following the science these days. But, you know, following the sweet holy science, let's just look at it. You know, it's not like we don't have the history and the timeline to look back on it and see what its fruits were. But there just seems to be this continual desire to keep searching and implementing it properly. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. You mentioned Mass of the Ages, and for anybody out there who's not aware, not familiar, that's a great resource and very easily can be found at latinmass.com. They have a three-part series that discusses Vatican II, the changes to the Mass, and where we are now. So that's a great resource. Lots of groups of Catholics, especially, traditional minded. And I think there can be some different, there's different camps, obviously. And some kind of, very strict about, just the Mass, and I think this goes beyond, because there's a lot of folks out there who really are starting to learn about their Catholic faith as of recent, especially with this explosion through social media of Catholicism, and maybe perhaps they don't have access to the Latin Mass, which is a reality these days. It can be several hours if it's even that close to some, but they're trying to live good, authentic Catholic lives. So it's the whole package. It's not just the Mass. And of course, if we don't have the TLM, we can't just sit at home and read our missals. If we're subject to abusive Masses or scandalous Masses, then I would think that would probably be the best option than to scandalize, your family or yourself and participate in a sacrilege perhaps. But I don't think, they're definitely out there. We know they're out there. I would say, but for the most part, we have to assume, like you said, that the vast majority are going to be valid, and and our Lord is there. And that's one thing that has kept me close to the church is knowing that, if we do acknowledge that we have to assume that the Mass is valid, that means our Lord is there. And if our Lord's there and he can put up with, some of the liturgical abuses, the communion in the hand and the different types of ministers, who are we, who are we to say we can't handle it? Our Lord handled it, and no one wants to subject themselves to scandal, but we have to support our Lord. We have to be there because he is there, and we have to seek him out in the Blessed Sacrament. So then another question, it gets posed, in regards to obedience and charity. Certainly we have to be careful we don't fall into blind obedience. But where does the rubber hit the road? We can't just go along to get along. At some point, effort has to be made. Voices have to be heard. And I think, you've done a great job with that, with this Men's Rosary March. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's a very successful apostolate there. And, you're seeing great success.
At the beginning of when I was attending my Latin Mass parish, I was doing what was known as rosary penance hikes. So that was I don't take credit for that. That's actually the brainchild of a seminarian who wished not to have his name disclosed, who is with the Fraternity of St. Peter now. But he came up with the idea of climbing up Calvary Mountain in San Diego, where I reside, and basically carry heavy backpacks along with the statue of Our Lady up this one mile hilly mountain while praying the rosary and the Divine Mercy chaplet at the time. So I decided to advertise that out onto my page, and there were one or two guys that saw it. And I would say that we had 6 to 8 guys on any given day that we did the penance hike. Now, fast forward to 2020. So that was 2019. So in 2020, during the violent but mainly peaceful era of like churches getting burned and vandalized, at one point at my parish, there was a young priest that was leading a Eucharistic procession around the courthouse in San Diego. So there was a certain bishop who will not be named. He sent out a very passive aggressive letter to all priests saying, don't politicize Eucharistic processions. And we all know that he was trying to name my parish without saying it out loud. So there was a lot of laymen that were infuriated after reading that, and they decided, you know what, we're going to do a men's rosary march. So they got me to advertise because I wasn't present there at the time because I was going through school, but they got me to advertise for a men's rosary march down in San Diego. And I think about 12 men showed up to that one.
Yeah.
I showed up to the second one that was held in San Diego in December. And I think, again, same number of men showed up. And while this was happening, there was a guy named Sergio Flores of JMJ Cat3. He sells Catholic hats. He was paying attention to all this and was also making the switch over to the traditional Latin mass up in Los Angeles. Sends me a message, you saying, hey, you know, everything that you've been talking about the Latin mass, it makes sense. And my wife dresses better. I dress better. The kids are much more well-behaved. Oh, by the way, do you want to do a joint men's rosary march at some point? So I was thinking, all right, let's make it happen. So we contemplated of a location, and being that he was in Los Angeles and I was in San Diego, we wanted to figure out a good halfway point where people from both areas could join us. So we settled onto a place called Mission San Juan Capistrano and decided that January 15th or 16th of 2021, we were going to host our first rosary march, basically just marching around the perimeter. And we were going in there thinking, okay, if it's just the two of us, so be it, but we're going to make it happen to set an example and hope that other men will join in. And surprisingly, 21 guys showed up cumulatively. A lot of people seemed to be very moved by it. And we were thinking, you know what? If 21 guys showed up and there was a visible impact of sorts, such as people stopping their cars and praying alongside of us, or people just wondering what we were doing, then we should keep doing it. And it also helped that we had good press, because Phil Ortiz of One True Faith, he was taking amazing pictures of that very first march. And I was thinking, okay, you know what? We got to keep in touch with each other and figure out when the next march would be. So we decided that the next joint rosary march at the same location would be in March of that year. 55 guys showed up, and then we decided that we were going to do marches on a quarterly basis. And every time, it's always been 50 to about 80 or 90 guys. And a lot of men walk away from it very moved and changed. In addition to, people were always edified and very moved to see whenever we host these marches at Mission San Juan Capistrano. And it's also just awesome seeing how others have been paying attention on social media and beginning to host their own rosary marches too.
Yeah, no, very powerful. You know, one of my most memorable times, you know, when I was in the midst of my reversion, was going on a retreat and being in a chapel filled with men. That was a completely new experience, and the rosary started, and to hear those men, those deep voices praying in unison, you know, unlike, you know, just very similar to, you know, when I was at the Latin mass for the first time, just that solemnity, that otherworldliness, there was just something different, something very powerful there when a group of men you know, in one place and praying in unison, the wonderful prayers of the rosary. So very inspiring and very powerful for sure. I think we're going to jump off, take a few minutes. We're talking to Daniel Vu of Traditional Catholic Men and the Men's Rosary March. We'll be right back. Hi guys, this is Jason Murphy for the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. The Obligation has just celebrated its 100th episode with over 2 years of broadcasting, but we couldn't have done it without you, the listener. Carolina Catholic is a 100% listener-supported 501c3 charitable organization and exists only because of the generous financial support of the faithful Catholics in the Diocese of Charlotte and beyond. The Obligation is a weekly men's forum that airs at 5 p.m. on Fridays, streaming and downloadable anytime across our multiple media platforms and through the Carolina Catholic Media app. We discuss topics of faith, life, church, and world issues, the joys and struggles of being a man in this world as it relates to becoming the men, fathers, and husbands God is calling us to be. We also regularly feature interviews highlighting liturgical, political, and conversion stories which strike close to home and close to heart. Please prayerfully consider making a one-time or ongoing donation towards helping keep this wonderful apostolate of Catholic radio alive and well in our area during our fall pledge drive campaign. Please go online to www.carolinacatholic.org to explore our show and all of the wonderful local programming God has blessed us to offer. While you're there, make sure to click that donate button and pledge your support. We look forward to talking to you soon. God bless, and Esto Vir. And we're back. Thanks for sticking around. Talking to my friend Daniel Vu, sunny California, with Trad Cat Men Instagram and the Men's Rosary March. The other day, Daniel, when we talked, you know, you said something I wrote down. I just feel like it's such a good, strong statement. You said, when a man doesn't live his faith, he is not living to his potential as a man deigned by God. And I think that's such a strong statement. You know, tell us a little bit about, you know, about that statement there.
When I was saying that, I always think of faith without works is dead, as St. Paul would say. And you could only do so much when you're praying and limiting yourself to parish life and prayer life. If you are out there and taking action, whether it is leading Rifle and Rosary or Men's Rosary March, or like Joe Riggi of Our Warpath on Instagram, where he hosted a March for Catholics, that in from my point of view, is how you truly live out your life, is taking action, getting other men to be fired up about what they are meant to be as a protector, provider, and presider of their soul, their family, if they are called to the marriage life, or perhaps their parish, if they're called to the priesthood in that regard. So I think that if you are praying but not taking action, then you are not living up to your full potential as a Catholic man.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I spoke with Pierce and with Eric the other day, and you know, that was a just a real important point. You know, it's at some point, you know, it does require action. Faith and works, they go hand in hand. And yes, we of course are called to prayer and to faith, but you know, please God, we never face those times or those moments. But in this world, they're getting close to becoming more real each day, where it's going to take men to stand up, you know. And if we look at the subversion going on in our world, and you know, specifically, you know, one of the most, you know, apparent evils in society is this LGBTQ movement and this trans phenomenon, and it's not being pushed by women. You know, it's not a big push of trans women becoming, you know, men. You don't see that as much. That's not as vocal. That's not all over social media. It's the men wanting to dress like or act like women. Of course, we know they will never be women. But it's all the way around the package there. You've got the, sorry for the pun. You've got the men wanting to be women, and you've got men standing by allowing it to happen. And, you know, unless we're vocal, unless we say enough is enough, you know, we just get overrun. So we've got to be able to stand up to this. There's so many other, obviously evils in this world, but this is one, just a subversion of what man is. I mean, that's just a straight up attack on manhood and on creation as, you know, from its very origin. So, so very important there. You know, it starts with prayer, you know, from prayer, we develop penances, and those penances, you know, turn into sacrifices. You know, but what is next? You know, how do we do this? How do we practically, you know, put these actions into motion? And I mean, I know we've alluded to them with rosary marks and marches and perhaps, you know, peaceful protesting, public prayer. You know, what are some things guys can do? You know, what can we do? Because I mean, a lot of guys, I know myself especially, you know, many times in the past, you feel like this island. You kind of feel like you're out there by yourself. You know, you have these thoughts about this is what I should do, and this is what needs to be done, but you know, you're not in community with other guys like-minded. You know, what can guys do to get in touch with other guys? Because we need them. We know it. Iron sharpens iron. You know, that's the motto of our men's conference here in the Carolinas. And I know we get very dull when we're not around other guys, especially like-minded men. You know, what are some suggestions to guys out there that may be struggling, don't feel like they have a good group of brotherhood around them, you know, without, you know, getting lost in the myriad, you know, sites and pages on social media? You know, what are some things we can do?
I think that one could say that even with the power of social media, it doesn't beat being in person with other like-minded men, because I think that if we were to focus on social media, then we're really not focusing on what is surrounding us in real life. So I would argue that if a man isn't finding where there are like-minded men in his current state of life or even his current parish, I would strongly recommend that a man look to perhaps a different parish or perhaps even a different liturgy where there's already that group of like-minded men. It's in my personal experience that at least with the Latin Mass, there are men out there that always want to better themselves every day. It's a matter of you mustering up the courage to strike up a conversation and being like, hey, why don't we do this together, be it a penance hike or doing a rosary march or doing an outing with the guys where it's just the guys and you do insert manly activity and just create those bonds that will last a lifetime. Now, granted, you don't have to do a rosary march or rifle a rosary or march for Catholic. It could be something as small as creating perhaps a local Knights of Columbus chapter or Troops of St. George chapter or whatever there is for men to gather and break bread and share bonds. I could say that at my parish on a weekly basis, there are boxing nights on Tuesdays and cookouts on Thursdays. These are just for men.
That's great.
And you'll be surprised of the demographics. There are old guys that want to sharpen up their skills. There are young teenage boys or even preteens, I should say, where they just want to learn a skill set that makes them tough so that eventually when they grow up into adulthood, they know that they could handle themselves in a rough situation. Yeah. And as for Thursdays, we'd get together at this man's house and we would break bread, talk philosophy, often pray the rosary, and just sit around the bonfire enjoying each other's company, because after all, sometimes a priest needs company when he's carrying out all his pastoral duties, and it's easy to get alone in that. It's also easy for a married man to get so caught up that he is not taking care of himself as a man, where he could be a protector, provider, presider. And it's also easy for a young man who doesn't know who to turn to for guidance and wisdom. And that serves as a safe space of sorts for guys to just share talking points or swap advice on how to carry about their lives. And if you do something so small as that, you can make a huge impact. I remember when it came to boxing and cookouts, it gave me the confidence to be a better man in where I was already living at, on top of the fact that I know who to turn to when it came to asking for guys to come along for the men's rosary march and also just spreading the word. And I think that that is all credited to when you start small, it has big results.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I like the boxing and cookouts. That's kind of intriguing there. I like that. I think they give guys an opportunity to, you know, come together, and of course, doesn't have to be a full on war, trying to beat each other down to the ground, I'm sure, but, you know, moving and just, you know, feeling each other out. And I think learning, you know, feeling the physicalness of it. You know, I think in this world, we're so bubble wrapped, aren't we? Golly. I mean, I know whenever I've gotten to the ring with guys and guys not even of faith, you know, younger guys, way different walks of life. You know, even after a few rounds, you know, some sparring, there's always a hug. There's always emotion. There's a bond there, even in its just pure physicalness. There's such a bond there of men just respecting the other man, you know, establishing a healthy fear of, you know, of maybe of each other or of, of combat, you know, knowing that it's there. Because I think your average man these days just wouldn't even know what to do if something physical went down. And that's unfortunate because that is a duty of ours. It really is. And not to the, take it, you know, to the extreme level where we have to form militias and be, you know, always, you know, in some sort of, you know, engagement or prepping. But it is important. It's part of who we are, you know, the physicalness. And I remember, I think Eric, you know, with Confraternity War Angels, you know, a couple weeks ago, and you know, we talked about this this image of Jesus that modern, you know, man and society have, this sweet, you know, made up. He basically said Mary with a beard, you know, and he's like, you know, Jesus wasn't like that. He was a tough dude. He was muscular and he was lean and, you know, he had rough hands. He was engaged in physicalness, you know, and we just don't have that. And it's not to say, you know, just because you sit at a computer all day, you know, it's that in itself is going to emasculate you. But, you know, you got to do something innately just to get the blood flowing, you know, if it, you know, running or, you know, hitting the bag or something. But I do like the boxing idea. I think there's a certain bond there, a certain respect between men. And then when you bring in a faith component, you know, if you go out there and you do some boxing and then you have a meal and pray together. I mean, that sounds like the total package to me. That sounds like a really good evening and a really good bonding experience. And again, to your point, you know, include your priests out there. You know, people think that priests are so busy and they're always, you know, always with people. Well, you know, they are in a physical way, but not in an intimate way. You know, they need the brotherhood, especially if they're an isolated priest, they're by themselves maybe. And, you know, I know that our pastor joined the Exodus 90 with us years ago. And that was a great bonding experience for those involved and created that, you know, bond and just a sense of accountability for each other. So, yeah, some really great pieces. And then, I mean, just one more. I mean, like my wife and I, you know, for anyone out there married or courting or, you know, considering it, you know, just making sure that once you get married, continue to court or date your wife. My wife and I have longstanding Monday night date night routine that we've stuck to. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's busy, but we make it work. And that has fostered our relationship. It allows for communication and just, you know, even just relaxing around each other. And even so with the brotherhood, you know, with other men, you know, we need that physical contact, that sense of, you know, going out and just spending that one-on-one time or one-on-a couple, you know, a group of guys. You know, we've got to foster. You've got to foster those relationships. So Daniel is, you know, really great talking to you. I guess before we go, and I know you've got some swag out there. If guys wanted to, number one, you know, get on and follow you along, tell us how we can do that. And then, you know, if you want to get some of that Trad Cat Men swag, you know, what's the best route we can do that?
Yeah. So on Instagram, all you have to do is type in Trad Cat Men. So I'll spell it out phonetically. So it's Tango Romeo Alpha Delta, Charlie Alpha Tango, Mike Echo November, Trad Cat Men. That's all it takes. I'm usually the first or second result. And then it's the same thing for if you want apparel, type in tradcatmen.com. And that's where I sell all my hoodies, coffee mugs, phone covers. And as for the men's rosary march, just follow my page and look out for updates on a quarterly basis of when we host them.
That's awesome, man. I really appreciate it. True military man. Spelling it out there. So good. Appreciate your service and your service now for what you're doing for men everywhere. So Daniel Vu, thank you so much for joining us on The Obligation. I look forward to following along with you and maybe chatting soon.
Thank you so much for having me on The Obligation Show, Jason.
All right. Well, God bless and esto vir. If you enjoyed this episode and have any questions or comments or would like to come on the show and discuss your faith walk or any issue regarding the Catholic Church, send us an email at feedback@theobligationshow.com. You can also catch all of our previous episodes and all of the shows of Carolina Catholic Media at www.carolinacatholic.org. Click that donate button and we'd greatly appreciate it. There are also many opportunities to sponsor the show, the radio station, and the Catholic Men's Conference. Join Sensus Fidelium, Harmony Home Solutions, and Wallach Investments, who have pledged their funds to help keep Catholic radio on the air and relevant. Sensus Fidelium is a collection of Catholic homilies, apologetic videos, and other resources to grow in one true faith. They can be found online at www.sensusfidelium.com. Wallach Investment LLC is a strategic moral investing firm committed to placing their clients' interests ahead of their own. Their mission is to be a force of good in their relationships to make the most of their clients' investment, giving them the time and confidence to pursue their mission. Contact Daniel Wallach at www.wallachinvestments.com for more information. For the Obligation Radio Show, the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, and the Carolina Media Network, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vera.